answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Under the leadership of President Donald Trump, he first secured the border, which absolutely cut down on the flow and in the child trafficking economy. And so that was the first critical move. And their next critical step was to put new leadership at the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is part of HHS, which is where the children were being trafficked from, the Office of Refugee Resettlement. So they put some great, intelligent folks there. John Fabricatore, who is a senior advisor, also acting director Salazar, and their collaboration now with ORR, so the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the FBI, and DHS, they've been able to go out, do a concerted effort, door knocking, finding these children. It's wonderful news.
It is wonderful news. 145,000 missing children found and located by our Department of Homeland Security, along with our Home Health Services. I don't see the Democrats out there celebrating that. I see them out in the streets again over the weekend, protesting and shouting against ICE. We don't want you here. Maxine Waters standing in California, shouting in the street saying, we don't want you in our state anymore. I thought you had compassion for the children. No, they have political compassion for themselves, not for the children or anyone else. You have to ask over and over again, why do you want someone illegal that's convicted of all kinds of horrible crimes against children to live in your community? Why? I go back to this premise, and I have proposed it before. If I were to sit down with President Trump, I'd put this in front of him right away. Mr. President, why don't we make an offer to all those who don't want ICE and they want immigrants, illegal, convicted or not, to stay, that they offer that they will keep them in their homes and they'll be responsible for their behavior and any crimes they might commit. Let's see how many of the leftists would sign up for that. Oh, you'd have a few zombies that would. They probably don't have a place to stay, but they would. But they're not going to take any responsibility for what has been dumped onto this nation. Thank you, Joe Biden. Welcome to Larry Connors USA, the first of 2 hours. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8, and now we're into a new month. My gosh, the 2nd of Feb already. What happened to January? It's gone, baby. It's gone. But it won't be long before it comes back around again. You know that. Well, Larry Connors USA, we offer you, obviously, news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have right now. That I promise you. And I'll have you hold me to that again at the end of this hour. Take notes. Better be taking them a lot, because we're going to dump a lot of material on you. We don't just sit here and offer opinions and bluster and go crazy, which I can do from time to time, but we also bring you solid information, education, and reminding you when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook, and everything later goes up as a podcast, just in case you cannot stay the entire 2 hours. The podcast go up after we complete this hour, the next hour, I should say. They'll be available at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any other place you want to find a podcast, you'll find Larry Connors USA. And if you watch or listen at a later time, thank you, but I ask one favor. Please push share. Send it on to others. Get them involved. And also, we continue to thank you for all your support for our sponsors. They keep us on the air, and we do appreciate what they're doing. They're standing with us in the gap against those who want to destroy the nation and those trying to protect it. In our second hour today, a PBS lie. No surprise here, but an opinion piece written talking about how PBS and its special on librarians basically is pushing a lie to you. And I have a challenge question for you. You're going to have to listen to this woman, and you're going to have to tell me, is this a Democrat or a fascist? you're right. It's a trick question. But when you hear what she has to say, I dare you to tell me what she really is. That'll be coming up in our next hour. Later in this hour, cutting federal dollars from sanctuary states and cities. Why aren't we doing that? It's been proposed before when Trump first ran. Senator Graham is pushing it again. Why don't we do that? Because we have in the past withheld federal dollars, threatening anyway, to states that would not change their interstate speed limits. We'll get into that. And our story behind the story today. I'm going to ask a question. I know everyone listening would say, no, I don't remember that. Question. Do you remember when we had only a 1% federal income tax? And not one of you, not one of you out there can say, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I can add to that as well and say, do you remember when we had no federal income tax? Again, no one out there can say, oh, yeah, I remember that. We will get into that in our story behind the story, education. The situation in Iran continues to shake and concern all of us, as it should. We've got our naval armada ready to do what it needs to do on President Trump's initiative. But talks are still underway, trying to find a way around this. The Iranian leader supposedly trying to make a deal with Russia, providing him shelter. I'm not so sure Russia wants to be caught in the center of this. But Victoria Coates, a former deputy security advisor, says, here's where we are today.
I think we're in a different place than we were in June. I think the Iranians thought when President Trump came back in that he was somehow, you know, so eager to get a deal that he would put up with all of their nonsense, their endless sort of tergiversations. They're trying to play for time, and all the while they were going for a nuclear weapon. That's what he showed them with Midnight Hammer, that was not going to be tolerated. He did very significant damage to that program. As you said, we think they are trying to rebuild. That's something the Israelis are watching very closely. We are as well. If that's the case, and we can get to a verifiable deal that they give that up because they think that their survival is at risk now, then, as I said, that's fine. But at the same time, we now have a president, Carly, who has demonstrated not just through Midnight Hammer, but also through Absolute Resolve, the action against Maduro in Venezuela, that he is willing to use American strength when it is necessary, particularly in a targeted way that changes the conditions on the battlefield. So if the Iranians think they can just kind of string the Trump administration along through these talks in Turkey, I think they're probably going to come to some more grief.
I think so. You heard her mention talks with Turkey. We're trying to bring some allies together. You want to help us put pressure on Iran to stop short of any kind of war action? This is the time. We've given Iran numerous off-ramps. They've not taken it. But once again, we have our envoy, Steve Witkoff, speaking to Turkey and others. Can we find a way to bring Iran to the table and have them say we will cease and desist what we've been doing, such as slaughtering thousands of their own citizens? General Jack King.
There have been seven other presidents that have dealt with Iran, this regime, since they came to power in 1980. Three of those seven presidents, when Americans were killed by the scores, they did nothing. They didn't even confront the regime. all seven other presidents stood by and watched the regime increase its capability to dominate and control the region and to and destabilize the region as a result of funding its proxies and attempting to weaken and eventually destroy the state of Israel. All seven of them. And two of them really appeased the regime in terms of Obama and Biden. Here comes President Trump. He killed Qasem Soleimani. He delivered a decisive blow to the nuclear power regime that they were within months of developing as a part of the Israelis' 12-day war. And now we're at a point of historic significance. What am I talking about? Negotiations would have made sense a year ago. Certainly 5 years ago. Negotiations to do what? No enrichment of uranium. Limit the missile program. And number three, no support to proxies.
Now, those three were available then, as the retired four-star General Jack King pointed out. One, every one of them obviously tied to, one, you're not going to have a nuclear weapon. You're not going to be able to produce one. And we'll put an end to the proxy wars. And all of that was possible. And it could still happen. And, of course, the regime change, we really want the Iranian people to have a say in that. But those who are daring to get in the streets, they're facing tanks, bazookas, machine guns, and they're being slaughtered as they stand, simply begging, pleading, demanding peace, peace. And we've got protesters in this country that are out there shouting that they want all the illegals to have their free reign in our country. Why don't you take some of that energy and take your butt to Iran and join those people asking for freedom? Once again, General King.
If we got a deal like that in those days, that all would have made some sense, because then we could have waited out and seen what happened. If we go and make a deal with the Iranians today, what are we really doing? We're extending the life of the regime. Mm-hmm. We're extending it. We're throwing them a lifeline. And it's a gut punch to the protesters. Protesters don't care about the nuclear deal. They care, what are they really in the street willing to die for? We think now tens of thousands have died. The high end is maybe even 30,000.
Wow.
That is staggering and shows the desperate need of the regime in terms of stopping that protest, because it was threatening their survival. So what we're actually dealing with here is the passing up the opportunity. There is an historic opportunity here to set the conditions through a military strike that puts the regime on the pathway to collapse. The Israelis recognize this, and this is why there's so much delay taking place to bring in robust resources to do something that's decisive. It's not going to be like an invasion of Iraq, Afghanistan, or Haiti, or Panama, where there are ground troops on. There's always going to be a degree of uncertainty to it.
Yeah.
But we have to use our judgment and President Trump's instincts here, and also some spine, dealing with that ambiguity. But we know for a fact that based on what events are in front of us, the regime is the weakest it's ever been.
The weakest it's ever been, and it's a good opportunity for Trump to take advantage of it. Of course, on the front line, they try to peddle a story that we're solidly in control. You're not solidly in control if you're massacring thousands of your own citizens and would plan to do more. China is also looking even weaker. The purging of the generals we talked about before, Premier Xi not trusting anyone, and the expert we often have on the air appeared over the weekend speaking about the same thing. China expert Gordon Chang says the military and the economy are breaking apart.
The Chinese military right now has had its chain of command severed. This is really interesting because, you know, a lot of media says, well, Xi Jinping has been getting rid of his people. Well, I think a lot of the dismissals have been caused by Xi Jinping's adversaries getting rid of Xi Jinping's loyalists, including General Hu Weidong, who is reported to have been suicided last May. Uh-huh. So there's just turmoil, and it's not clear that Xi Jinping is responsible for much of this turmoil, which means that Xi Jinping has indeed lost control of the military. The Chinese economy is crumbling. the regime is falling out from under Xi Jinping. And so, you know, the Chinese are going to lash out. And so eventually all of this is going to end up with the West reuniting because it will have to. But in the meantime, it doesn't look good. And I hope President Trump starts to repair relations with our traditional allies so this doesn't happen in the first place.
I think Gordon Chang on that last remark saying, I hope Trump restores relations with allies. I think he's doing it. He's not doing it the way some think he should, and that is go in and bow down to them, say, oh, we're so sorry, we apologize. We're not going to do the Obama. We're not going to do the Obama bow, period. We're willing to work with you, and it'll be better for you. And even NATO now recognizes it. When the Secretary General of NATO the other day stated, all you European nations, did you want to go ahead and wage a war? You want to end up going against the U.S. by yourself? You want to come up with your own defense? You want to be united in any fashion? Good luck with that. And he's absolutely correct. They cannot do it. There's no way possible. They're already upset. They're having to pay more money into NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Do you remember when Trump first went into office? He said two things. One, we're not going to continue to dump all the money into the UN unless the members put more money in. What'd they do? They did it. They put more money in. Oh, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth and wailing. Trump is trying to destroy the world. He's trying to destroy the UN. We need it. We'll have the others bear their part. And then he turned to NATO and said the same thing. All of our European allies, we're not going to be part of NATO unless you contribute more than you've been doing so. And once again, the naysayers, he's going to destroy the world. Where are we now? We're stronger as a world and as a nation. And so are those countries, except for those who are stupid enough to think we can take on Russia, China by ourselves. They know they can't. Coming up, you remember when we had federal tax dollars pulled from states if they did not curtail the speed limit on interstate highways. If we could do that, which we did, why can we not do the same thing now regarding illegal immigration, holdback dollars? We're going to get into that discussion coming up. And a proposal by Senator Graham, one of the latest. Plus, the story behind the story. The time when we had no, listen up, the time when we had no federal income tax. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Great news from my sponsor, Tom Shaw Realtors, proving if you want to buy, sell homes, farms, acreage, you want Tom Shaw. In 2025, selling more than 100 properties, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you're a sanctuary city or state, you're a governor or you're a mayor, and you don't comply with detainer laws and other laws that require you to turn over to custody to the federal government somebody in violation of immigration law. Immigration law is national law. So if a state runs into an illegal immigrant, they have an obligation under federal law to get that person in federal custody for deportation. If you don't do it that way, illegal immigration will never end. They'll find the 12 states, they'll keep coming.
And they will keep coming. That is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. He's talking about a way for us to hold back federal dollars from states that call themselves sanctuary states or cities, sanctuary cities. This has been proposed before. Trump made that offer as well when he first ran. What happened? It hasn't happened since, and it's still not happening. But it may be coming full circle, and yet it might not. Let me explain. Let me break this down for you. Federal dollars can be withheld from a state when it fails to comply with legal conditions attached to federal grants or violates statutory requirements or does not use the funds according to the approved provisions. And one example being given here, states violating federal regs such as immigration enforcement or failing to turn the money into specific programs as they're destined, you can yank it back. You can claw it back. But once it goes out the door, it is very hard to get back. So cut it off to begin with. Put a stop on it. Put your foot on the head of the snake and chop it off. Why aren't we doing that? Well, what we have right now, and we have tried this in different ways, and it continues to be a legitimate legal battle, let me put it that way. But we have so many states now and cities that they're just going to do whatever the hell they think they can, and they will. And as a states' rights guy, which I am, and I want us to remain, there is still a certain principle that we have to live under. What is good for one state may not be good for your state. If your state decides to make the legal drinking age 12, now I'm against that. But it's your state if your state does it. Is there federal law that could stop that? You could get into it. But it would be hammered out the same way we are right now. Under the Constitution's spending clause, the federal government may impose conditions on funds, withhold those if conditions are not met. And under the statutory violations, federal agencies can withhold the funds themselves if the money's not being used as plotted and planned. And then you have the sanctuary jurisdiction disputes. Courts have already ruled on numerous cases regarding withholding criminal justice grants from states and our cities that do not comply with federal immigration. What about the executive branch? Well, they cannot unilaterally withhold the funds. That's because it has to follow the Impoundment Control Act of 1974. So the executive branch, that's why we have our checks and balances, can't suddenly say, we're going to stop all this money. It has to be through Congress. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is once again proposing something that's already been run up the flagpole more than once.
The governors and the mayors are openly defying the law. They're creating the chaos. These are fraud-ridden areas. There's a law and order breakdown. What am I going to do? I'm passing a bill that says if you're a governor or you're a state official and you have in your custody someone who's broken federal immigration law and you do not turn that person over under existing law of the United States, you could go to jail. You're committing a crime.
You committed a crime. You, the governor of that state, could go to jail. You committed a crime because you authorized it. You, the mayor of Chicago, could go to jail for that same thing. But, our legal system, again, provides appeals. And once you go down this road, litigation upon top of litigation upon top of litigation, you're on a carousel ride. And it goes around and around and around. And when it stops, very few are thrown off or told to get off. It continues to run. But I'm glad he's at least going to try to push it. There was a time that we were using this procedure to actually withhold dollars from states. It had to do with you. Yeah, you. Right now, you in your car driving? How fast are you driving? Are you exceeding a speed limit, especially on an interstate? See, here's what was going on. From 1974 to 1995, they put a national 55-mile-per-hour speed limit in place. I remember specifically when that went into place, because I would often make trips from Austin, or rather from Houston to Austin. And I think the first trip I made after that went into effect was probably within 5 days of 1974 when it went into effect. And they were out there and they were yanking people left and right. 55 miles an hour. I thought I could get out and walk around the car and get back in. It wouldn't have gone anywhere. Why and how were they able to do that? Well, because they passed a law saying they could use the power of the purse and mandate a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. And they would withhold federal funds from states that did not comply. A lot of states had problems with that. A lot of citizens had problems. It's a good moneymaker for a lot of states and cities in other ways, but to lose federal dollars, especially for your national interstate type programs. So they ended up repealing it in 1995. Congress repealed it, giving full authority for setting speed limits on all highways to the individual states. Do you know where you can go the fastest right now legally? Think about that for a moment. Just think about it. And then how fast do you think you could go before you'd be in violation? Well, currently, with the enforcement now at the hands of state and local law enforcement, not federal authorities, federal funding is still provided as long as they're meeting federal safety guidelines. For a time, the speed limit was considered to be a safety guideline. But during that time of 1974, they were also looking at, if you're going slower, you won't use as much fuel. That was part of the reasoning. I know. I still say, I think the faster I go, the less fuel I'm using. I'm an idiot. I know. Now, back to my question, where can you go the fastest and which state allows the fastest? The highest average speed would be Texas. Highest average speed with many of the rural roads in Texas set at 80 miles per hour. Now, that's going to be a little fast on some curvy roads in the hill country. I'd be the first to admit that. But also, there's a section of Texas where you can go up to 85 on a state highway, 130. 85, keep in mind, is only on one stretch of road by Austin that runs about 40 miles to Seguin, Texas. And you have to pay, it's a toll road as well. But you can go up to 85. They're not going to bust you for that. In addition to that, for Texas, you had the other 80 mile per hour, as I mentioned. Idaho, on certain rural interstates, has 80, as does Montana, and Nevada, and North Dakota, and Oklahoma, and South Dakota, and Utah, and Wyoming. Many of those states in certain areas allow you to go up to 80 miles an hour. And you're not breaking any law. So again, those eight states allow you to go up to 80, and Texas allows you to go up to 85 on that one particular stretch of 40 miles out of Austin. The rest are all closer to 75 miles an hour. This is a case, again, where when they were trying to use the power of the purse to get the states to comply withholding federal dollars, and all the states cracked back down to 55 miles an hour. And again, it was primarily they trying to say it was safety, but at the same time, it was fuel economy. Different time, right? Now, I do not advise you to go anywhere in any state and just open it up to 80 plus and find out what would happen. Know the law and also realize you still need to maintain proper control of your vehicle. As simple as that. But there are some out there that just don't care. Beware. Our story behind the story today. There was a time we did not have a federal income tax. When did it start? Why? That's all coming up in our story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
So, we were talking about taxes, one of your favorite subjects, correct?
Right.
We're not there yet. We're not yet to April 15th, the date you've got to have the taxes filed. Now, keep in mind, you can always file an extension, but you will still pay money on whatever you owe as of the filing regarding this last year. And you'll be penalized for the delinquency in payment. Keep in mind also, there's a difference between tax avoidance, which is legal. If you have a way to avoid the taxes by a loophole or something that works for you legally, that's acceptable. Now, you might have to have it challenged. Might have to fight it out in court. Tax avoidance. Tax evasion. Whoop. There you hit it. You stepped on the nail. Tax evasion is what they'll really come after you with. But there was a time when we didn't have any of this. As you know, Ben Franklin's always been credited with saying, nothing's certain in this world but death and taxes. He said that back in 1789, and it still holds true now. But actually, that did change. And then the question is, why do we have a federal income tax? Well, we have certain things we need to maintain. Obviously, military and other things that are, you can't by state make it work. It's got to be a cohesive effort. There was a decision that goes all the way back to the Civil War, 1861. They were, at that time, trying to raise money to help pay for the Civil War, or the war between the states, however you want to identify it. In 1913, the first modern federal income tax was enacted by the Revenue Act of that year. What would have been your tax at that point in 1913? Well, if you made less than $3,000, which that was the majority of the nation at that point, you paid nothing. If you made anything over $3,000, regardless of how much more you made, your tax, your federal tax, was 1% as a minimum. But then they began to think, you know, we need to come up with brackets. And therein lies another pitfall. If you look at where we are now with tax brackets and how it's been escalating, it's not something that's going to shock you because you're paying it one way or the other, coming out of your paycheck on a regular basis and or a check you might have to write to the federal government at the end of that tax year. The federal income tax, as I said, was born the third of this month, 1913, when Congress ratified the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that had an on-again, off-again effort to have a federal tax. And in 1913, the 16th Amendment authorized an income tax that began the following year. And at the time, there were only 7 tax brackets. A majority of Americans fell into the lowest, which stood at a mere 1%. It encompassed everyone at that time that was making money legally, all the way up to $459,000 annually, which at that point, I mean, that would be what it would be annually now based upon what the prices had been and wage changes and everything, but at that time we're talking about $3,000. then later to support the war effort in World War I. The lowest bracket's marginal tax rate was increased to 6%, and the overall number of tax brackets increased. Then we saw tax cuts. Yeah, we actually had tax cuts after the war. And those were important drivers of the economic success of the Roaring Twenties. The Gatsby area, the Flapper Girls, all of that. Of course, we also then had bootleg restrictions in place until that changed again. But the top marginal rate began to increase during the Great Depression, the worst time to hit the American people. And again in World War II. Do you know what the top tax bracket was at one time? I want you to think about that. We'll come back to that in a moment. But keep in mind, this nation at that time, it had an IRS, but it wasn't really set up the way it is now, and certainly not as computerized. And if you didn't fill out your report, you didn't send it in, you often got by. Under President Ronald Reagan, they took the top marginal tax rate and dropped it to the lowest level since the 1920s. That sparked again more generous years for Americans. The money was still being spent. It was in the economy. It was circulating. But you weren't having to pay more on your federal income tax. So the money saved there maybe went into savings or probably into economic growth. Since 1990, our top rate has fluctuated between 31 and 39%. Do you know what your bracket is right now? The latest listings, and I'm not a tax lawyer, so do not count on me for your tax advice by any imagination. But according to the income tax brackets that exist for 2025, the year you're going to be filing for, there's a 10% bracket for those who are single if you earn from zero to just under $12,000. If you're filing jointly, you can go up to just under $24,000 before you begin to pay more. And then the tax bracket goes from the 10% that exists to 37%. There are seven different brackets at this point, the highest being 37%. Now, that would sound like that's pretty staggering, 37%. And this is just the federal income tax. Think of these states like New York and California, and not only with their state tax, but their city taxes they impose. No wonder a lot of folks are deciding to pick up and go elsewhere. The state of Texas does not have a personal property tax, nor does Florida. And Florida does not have a state income tax. You want to shop around, see which state has no state income tax? I suggest you do it if you're thinking about moving and looking to improve in some way. You darn sure don't want to take a job that's going to offer to pay you a lot of money only to get there and find out, yeah, but then the state tax here is going to be 23% of what you bring in. And you look at St. Louis City, still holding on to that 1% tax bracket. Are you aware that everyone that earns any dollar whatsoever in the city of St. Louis is taxed that 1%? You know who gets hit the hardest, the most often? Professional players for baseball, hockey, when we had football. They're here for only one game, maybe more than one game if it's baseball and hockey. But for every game they're here, whatever they earn for that game, the city was taking 1%. A lot of them don't really want to play in St. Louis if we can avoid it. So in 1913, we set this in motion. And I asked you a moment ago, what do you think was the highest tax bracket ever for the U.S. citizens? Well, there is more to that story, behind the story, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So again, we had at one time no federal income tax. And while it was debated and brought into play off and on, one during the help finance the Civil War, and then again for World War I, Feb 3, 1913, the 16th Amendment was ratified. And it began with a tax rate at that point of 1% if you earned $3,000 or more. Less than 1% of Americans had to pay the tax in those earliest days. Less than 1%. Now, obviously, you can save taxes and the expenditure of it if you cut spending. But getting that across the heads of some of the members of Congress, and that is plain to both sides of the aisle, is sometimes a desperate one flew over the cuckoo's nest story. I asked you earlier, do you know what the top tax bracket was ever in our nation? The number is staggering. Now, maybe you didn't ever pay it. No one you knew paid it. But the top tax bracket hit at one point 94%. 94% of every dollar you made at a certain bracket was going back to the government. The top marginal rate eventually began to slide down, but still was above 70%. For almost 30 years. So the high income taxes did have many Americans devote less time to activities, including work and investment. But the rate remained high because policymakers feared any reduction would cause the federal government to lose the revenue needed to support new welfare and entitlement programs. Now, that word entitlement, I get upset with how it's used sometimes. It's not an entitlement. I paid for it. I get it back. But they call Social Security an entitlement program. We did see in 1990 the top rate, as I said, go between 31 and 39%. Then President George W. Bush cut the tax rates by 4 points during his first term. That remained untouched until Barack Obama's second presidential term. And more recently, we had President Trump sign the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act into law. That gave 90% of taxpayers a tax cut. The brackets are still there. The highest bracket I see right now, 37%. If you are filing singly, if you earn more than $626,000, you're going to be paying 37% tax. If it's below that, but above $250,000, you're going to pay 35%. So it's not a lot of difference. And of course, if you're filing jointly, all those numbers adjust again. While we don't like federal tax, there is a obviously valid reason in cases that we do need it. National security, to begin with. but I don't like my federal tax dollars being used as they are right now by sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. And that takes us back to what we were discussing earlier in this hour. I would like to see that all pulled back, that the sanctuary cities and states not enforcing our federal immigration laws, they lose federal tax dollars. That would be a win for other Americans. Not going to happen, but we can wish for it. As you can also wish that, let's go back to when we had no federal income tax. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Our story behind the story for tomorrow night. When I lied during a polygraph exam, I lied and I got away with it more than once. That story behind the story tomorrow. Our second hour is still to come. You don't want to miss it. And I'm questioning you again with a challenge question. You're going to hear a woman. I want you to tell me, is she a Democrat or is she whatever? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.